Welcome to the Talking Blue Extra Show, your midweek extra source of all things Everton. I'm back here with Paul this week. Welcome, Paul.
How are you, mate? Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, no worries. We got some good feedback last week, didn't we? The extra show's starting to go down well, so we've both retained our place in the side this week.
Yeah, I enjoyed it last time, and we got loads of nice comments, people saying that they liked the midweek stuff and that they wanted to see more of it. So roll on, let's do it again, and hopefully people enjoy this one as much as they enjoyed last week's one.
Yeah, definitely, let's give them some more, if that's what they want, definitely. So we've got three segments today anyway. The first one will be in conclusion, Chelsea 0, Everton 0. We'll be talking about the game and what we thought of it. The second segment will be Henry Onyekuru, future Everton star. We're going to be talking about the Nigerian winger who's on loan at Galatasaray and what we think of his prospects and his future at Everton, if he has one, of course. And then thirdly, we'll be talking about either the segment. Last week you may have seen called Beers with the Blues, and this is a segment where Jerry and Max talked about, Jerry was asking Max what to rate out of five how much he'd want to go for a beer with each of the Everton squad. So we'll go through the squad and Paul will give his take on it, and he'll let us know what he really thinks of the Blues anyway, and we'll be asking him some questions about going down the pub with the Everton players. May it happen one day, we never know. Might get ourselves into a position where we get enough subscribers, so yeah, tell your mates. But yeah, let's crack on with today's show anyway. So yeah, in conclusion, Chelsea 0-11-0. I thought it was a good result. So yeah, we got a point out of it. It was obviously going to be a difficult game because Chelsea have been high-flying this season under Sarri. And I know they were very good in the country, but they just seem so much more tactically aware under Sarri, and they're playing a completely different game, but they all seem to have adapted to it, and we managed to kind of tactically match them. And Silva made his players so compact that we pressed them well, we defended well, and we pretty much marked their key players out of the game, and we kept them quiet for most of the game anyway. I know the second half was a little bit nervy at times when they had plenty of chances, but I thought all in all we performed pretty well. And we obviously had the debutants, Yerry Mina in there, who performed really well, among others. But, Paul managed to catch the game in Prague. Anyway, what do you think of the game?
What you said, basically. I thought we got our tactics spot on. We managed to stifle their most important players, Hazard and Jorginho and Morata, the players who can really hurt you in their team. We managed to keep them relatively quiet, or they just... We managed to make sure that they weren't able to really get on the ball and hurt us to any great extent. And I think it showed, because they ended up getting frustrated and lashing in a few mad fouls and, you know, theatrically going over. We'll talk about that later on. A certain player who threw himself on the floor. Well, as you said, I think it was just a really well-worked game plan. Everyone stuck to the task really well. And that sometimes doesn't happen when Everton go away to these big, intimidating away grounds. We sort of stick to a plan for a little bit, and then players just kind of get lost in their own heads and lose concentration, and it ends up costing us. But it didn't happen in this game. I think everyone just really, really stayed switched on throughout the 90 minutes. Everyone did their job to a T. I wouldn't say there was a single player who performed really, really badly. I think a few players had good games, a few players had below par games maybe, but yeah, no one really stuck out for being bad. So a point down there and a clean sheet as well, that's a good result no matter how you look at it. We're the first team, I think, all calendar year to keep a clean sheet down at Stamford Bridge. A lot of really great teams have gone there over the past while and not managed to keep Chelsea out. Barcelona is one of them, Liverpool's another one, City, Arsenal, Tottenham. They've all gone to Stamford Bridge and not been able to keep a clean sheet, and we've just done it. So I think that's just further proof that things are slowly going forwards under Marco Silva. We are improving. We are going in the right direction. And yeah, as you said, I think it was a result to really feel positive about.
Yeah, definitely. That just confirms to me that we are better than Barcelona, Chelsea, Tottenham and Liverpool. And clearly, as you've just said, the stats back us up anyway. So we're clearly the best team in the world. But we defended really well. And that's something that's become a characteristic of Marco Silva's play in the last few weeks, because when he was brought in, we thought he's going to be an attacking manager, which is what we needed after Sam Allardyce, but we weren't sure about his defensive capability as a manager, and he seems to have got it to a T with these new incomings anyway, because we were looking back last season with Jagielka and Williams, we were relying on those and we didn't really trust them, and now you're looking at a solid defence who leaks very little, if anything at all. We've got choice in centre-backs. We've obviously got Meighan came into the side because Zuma was ineligible, and we don't know who's going to play next week because, after the international break, because either of them could, any of the three could get on the team because they're all performing really well, and obviously Coleman's getting to more on top of his game anyway, and Dina played really well as well. Shout out to Luca Dean, by the way, for liking our player ratings. But yeah, we're becoming quite defensively solid, so it's really good. And obviously the defensive midfield as well of Andre Gomes and Idrissa Gueye forming a really solid partnership in midfield as well. I just found they didn't really have any key players. We were talking about danger men, weren't we, like in the last segment we did, and they didn't really have any standout players. They had a lot of obviously Morata, like the moan and stuff, but no one really stood out, and we managed to keep Eden Hazard quiet, which is very difficult and not many teams managed to do. How do you think we managed to do that?
I think, going back to what we said, I think Silva got his tactic spot on. He's clearly done his homework and watched tapes of Chelsea to try and work out where all their creative flair comes from, how to stop them. And I think he got it spot on in the sense that he realised that their creative heartbeat is Jorginho in the centre of midfield. Everything flows through him. And if you can just shut him down, if you can get him frustrated, if you can keep him on the periphery of the game, then it all trickles down. And if he's playing poorly, a lot of other players in the Chelsea team will play poorly as well because they're not getting the service from him. Hazard had a really quiet one, as you said, but that was because we didn't man-mark Hazard. I don't really think a player of his quality can be man-marked. We just stopped him getting the ball, we stopped the service to him. We closed down Jorginho, who couldn't get his head up and just have a minute to himself. He was completely stifled by Gueye and Gomez, and players like Hazard just couldn't get on the ball and work his magic for any points. Morata wasn't getting the ball in and around the box, as you said, and he ended up just getting frustrated and, you know, falling over and moaning to the referee and clutching at straws, basically just trying to buy a goal or a decision from anywhere because he wasn't getting any chances in the box, any clear-cut chances. So I thought we played really well because we realised what Chelsea's biggest strength was, and we took that away from them. If you just keep Jorginho quiet, so many other players that they have, your Maratas, your Hazards, your Willians, they'll just kind of, what's the word, they'll kind of just retreat into their own heads and just try and rely on just individual moments of magic, and it didn't come off for them. So kudos to Marco Silva. He clearly did his own work. He clearly watched a lot of old footage of Chelsea from this season, and he worked out a perfect way to completely isolate and stifle their creative mojo, Chelsea's heartbeat. And to be honest, we had one or two shaky moments in the last half an hour or so, but I didn't at any point feel that a goal was coming, really. I thought we stuck to our job brilliantly and we looked fairly comfortable throughout.
Yeah, I think we stopped him at the source, didn't we, as you say, with Jorginho. And he was one among many of the Chelsea players who pretty much lost a rag because they were being stifled so much. They just lost it and they started being quite petty and dirty. Quite a few of them, not just Jorginho with his tackle on Sigurdsson, which he probably should have been sent off for, which we will discuss. But also, we had a few other incidents, there could have been several sending-offs, and then there was Morata going down diving in and around the box plenty of times, and then Fabregas picking up the magic spray and moving it forward for the free kick as well. I just saw the clip of that earlier. I thought, hang on a sec, that's he's tried to find a little loophole in the new rule, but that was ridiculous. But surely the referee got quite a few decisions wrong there. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it was not the referee's best day, but I wouldn't go out of my way to say the referee was intimidated and he was deliberately just helping Chelsea out or helping us out, vice versa. I think he just lost his head. I think it was just too big an occasion for him. He couldn't handle the Chelsea players stropping and moaning and complaining for everything. He couldn't handle, he couldn't actually manage the game. That's the key word, manage. He couldn't keep everyone's tempers under control. He couldn't make sure that the players knew that he's in charge and that his authority has to be respected. It reminded me of just when a substitute teacher's taking hold of a ruling class. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, all these kids are just running around doing their own thing and he's just trying to survive. Basically, he's just waiting for the end of the lesson and so he can live to teach another day. So Kevin Friend, he wasn't any friend to us in the game. I don't even think he was a particularly friend of Chelsea, because I don't really think he, as I said, I don't really think he went out of his way to favour either team. I think he just couldn't act the pressure of the situation, and he couldn't act the players' big personalities like Hazard and Jorginho and Morata, and players like Sigurdsson and Mina as well. Mina got involved in the argy-bargy stuff. He just couldn't handle all these players just getting in his ear and telling him what to do and complaining. I think he just shouldn't be managing top teams. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not the only poor referee, but he's definitely one of the poorest.
I feel like officiating in the game at the moment is not the best standard, is it? Like, with all these calls of VAR, there were some terrible decisions. But one that stuck out in my mind, would you call that a penalty, Mina, on Morata?
I've seen them given, to be honest. I wouldn't say it was clear penalty, but I think Mina maybe has got away with it just a little bit. But saying that, though, I think Morata's got no one to blame but himself for not getting that awarded, because he was behaving like such a baby all day. He was being that petulant and that stroppy, and then throwing himself on the floor and complaining for absolutely everything. That I think the referee just got as fed up of him as we did.
Yeah.
The referee just made up his mind quite quickly. Look, I can't take anything you do seriously. Unless I see you getting completely hacked down, then you're not getting anything off me, because I know what you're like.
Yeah.
And that's Morata's own fault. If he just played it straight-faced and by the book, then I think he would have got a lot more. But if you're just going to be throwing yourself on the floor every 5 minutes, it's just the boy who cried wolf, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Just to sum it up anyway, who do you think were Everton's best performers in the game?
There's a few deserve mention. No, Pickford made some really important saves, some really good ones. Mina was a tank at the back, an absolute colossus. Keane, I thought, was great as well. If he's going to be playing like that, then he should be in that England team first choice. He shouldn't just be getting caught back into the squad. He should be in the England team in competitive games. I think Keane, at his best, is better than the likes of Harry Maguire and probably, who's the only blazer? Oh, his name escapes me.
Never watched England myself, to be honest.
They played like a three at the back. Like, Kyle Walker's a great player, but Kyle Walker's a fullback, and he's mostly been playing on like the right side of a three-man centre-back formation for England. So what I was trying to say is, when Michael Keane plays the way he's been playing, and like he did against Chelsea, I think he deserves to be in that best England 11.
Yeah.
So he was great. Mino was great. Dean, as you said, Dean really worked his backside off. He whipped in a lot of crosses and he kept going. He was really good as well. Gomez was a steady Eddie as usual. As I said earlier on, I don't think there was any one standout player you could say played bad. I think a lot of them played decent to good type standard. So my man of the match, if I had to just go for one, you know what, I think you'd probably have to give it to Mina, because it was his first full start. It's a baptism of fire, isn't it, going down to Stamford Bridge, of all places, for your full debut. You're playing next to someone who, I don't think Mina speaks particularly good English, or at least I haven't seen any interviews of him speaking English, and I seriously doubt Keane can speak whatever language Mina speaks. So, you know, there's obviously going to be a communication problem there between the two of them, but you wouldn't think it. Where they were playing, they didn't ever look confused at any point. They didn't look out of sync at all. And as I said, that's your first game for a new club against such a brilliant team like Chelsea, and you're trying to handle the likes of Morata and Hazard coming at you, and you're playing as well as that. You're winning every ball, you've got 100% pass completion. That's a stat I saw today. I think Mina really, really deserves a pat on the back for that. I think if he'd have come in and played absolutely bad, absolutely terrible, if he'd have been really bad, I think he probably could have been forgiven, considering the type of situation he was getting thrown into. But it was the complete opposite. He was great, and I think he deserves to start next game. Might be harsh on the likes of Zouma, but I think when you play that well, you don't deserve to be dropped.
Definitely. Well, we'll discuss that one when we're previewing Cardiff next time out anyway. So there's a little teaser for your extra show next time. So tune in. So yeah, we'll wrap it up there anyway. In conclusion, Chelsea 0, Everton 0. in this segment, we're going to talk about Henry Onyekuru and whether he's got a future at Everton, and what we think he's, well, how he's done so far in Galatasaray and obviously last season alone at Anderlecht, and his future at Everton, and how that would happen under the circumstances, because it's quite a bit of a grey area, the circumstances in which Henry Onyekuru will end up at Everton. So we're going to discuss that anyway. So he's at Galatasaray and he scored twice this week. He's returned to form a little bit, because he's had quite a few niggles this season, which have kept him in and out of the side. But the fans do like him and think there's definitely a prospect there, and they're definitely warming to Henry Onyekuru. He's been playing on the right wing since he came back from injury. I think it was 3 weeks ago. The previous 2 weeks before this week's game, he played on the right wing and he had a bit of a quiet game. But the coach still wants to give him chances because he knows there's a player there, definitely. And he played at the weekend, and he started up front. They played with two attackers rather than three like they normally do. So he was given more of a central role, and he was all over the pitch, really. He was coming deep to try and find the ball, and he only made six passes in the game, because he must have felt a little bit more isolated up front. But he still managed two goals, so that's got to be put down as a good performance. Now, about him coming to Everton, he could have been at Everton this season if it weren't for something happening at Anderlecht last year. He broke his leg at Anderlecht. He came back to receive some treatments, and then when he returned from injury, Anderlecht refused to play him. So he didn't get a place in the Nigeria's World Cup squad. And Onyekuru came out afterwards and said that Anderlecht purposely did not play him so that he wouldn't get in the World Cup squad, so that they could possibly keep him for another year, which is quite sneaky. And Onyekuru was clever to come out and say that and make it public. Everton responded by saying, fine, then you're not having him next year. We'll send him someone else instead. They found another Champions League club in Galatasaray to send them out to. And now he's doing pretty well out there. So it's all turning out good, and hopefully he'll end up at Everton. I think the criteria is that he has to be a top-level international player, so hopefully he can establish himself in the Champions League and also on the international stage for Nigeria, and he's back in the squad. He was put on standby for the Nigeria squad for this upcoming international break, and Odion Ighalo, the former Watford striker, has pulled out due to injury. So Onyekuru's found his way back into the squad, so he'll be one to look out for this international break. But have you watched him, Paul? What do you think of him as a player?
I've watched little snippets of him. He seems quite pacey, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's not, you know, he's not the bulkiest of players, but what's the word? I don't think he's a weakling by looking at him. I'll be interested to see if he does end up at Everton. I'd be interested to see which position we play him in. Are we gonna just stick him out wide like Galatasaray seems to be trying, or is he definitely going to be a number nine central type of forward? Be interesting, because I think maybe as a central player, he could be a future for him there. A lot of fans want to see us sign a new striker, but if he's going to be mainly operating out wide, then we've got a lot of options in those areas. We've got other players in those areas to come back from loan. We've got Vlasic, who's out on loan as well. We've got players like Kieran Dowell, who as well, he's trying to break in and find a place for himself somewhere. So Onyekuru, I'd be interested to see what he can do if he comes to England, because I think there's definitely a player with ability there, but whether he ever manages to get the qualifications that are needed to come over, I don't know. And whether he's even in Marco Silva's thinking, who knows if that's the case, because Marco Silva definitely didn't sign him. Was he a Koeman signing or Walsh era signing?
Yeah, Steve Walsh. Yeah.
Was he Steve Walsh signing?
Yeah, so Steve Walsh.
Yeah, so he was signed by a completely different regime. So who knows what the current regime thinks of him? Does Marcel Brands and Marco Silva watch him at all? Do they keep track of him? Do they have any plans for him? Or is this just someone where when he eventually turns up, they're just going to think, no, you're not in our plans. We've got no place for you. You can just move on. So I don't know. Maybe he'll be the victim of circumstances. Maybe he will get here and get given a chance, and he might take the chance or not take the chance. I'm not sure, but it is interesting what you're saying, because he's doing okay for Galatasaray. I think they are a better club than Anderlecht, what he was last season. It's a higher level of higher standard level in that league, because you're playing some real big fiery games, don't you? And he's getting some good experience, I think. So Onyekuru, as I said, I think his future at Everton, it will mostly decide on what type of position he's going to nail down, and what's he going to identify himself as. Is he just going to be a kind of a wide player who cuts in, or is he going to be a central player? Because whatever he decides to do, or whatever his manager decides he's best at, I think that will be the most crucial thing in deciding on whether or not he's got a future at Everton or not.
Yeah, the thing with Onyekuru is, I mean, this might sound a bit harsh, and I don't mean this to really do him down, because I'm sure he's a better player, obviously, but when I hear about Onyekuru and I read about him, it just reminds me a lot of Shinji Tarajai type thing, where he's a player who's brought in by a previous regime. You know, lots of fuss is made over him. He's going to be one for the future. We're going to see lots of him, just not right now. And then by the time he actually gets here properly and he's ready for an opportunity, the old regime who signed him is gone. And the new manager who's here just kind of doesn't have any reason to put any investment in him. So he's just got to basically prove himself all over again. You know, I don't know what Silver and Brands think of him. Maybe they had a look at him this summer, because I know he was back training with us this summer before he went back out on loan again. And maybe he impressed them, maybe he didn't. But I really hope that he's not kind of out of sight, out of mind type of thing. I hope that he is getting watched and I was going to say scouted them. He's already our players. So we don't have to scout him. But yeah, I really hope that they are sending people out to really, really keep an eye on him and write detailed reports, because I'd hate to think that he's just a player who has basically just been forgotten about, and Silver and Brands just don't think that they have any reason to kind of invest in him type of thing. I think every player, no matter who you are, who you were signed by, what position you play, you should get given a fair chance. And I think he will have been given that. But I really hope that Brands and Silver I hope he's in their thinking. Same as other players like Vlasic's. I hope it's just not a case of where they've sent him out on loan basically just so they don't have to think about him for a year, and that when he comes back, they're just hoping that he's impressed enough that they can sell him on for a decent amount of money. I hope Onyekuru, when he does come, because I think he will, surely, he'll beat the requirements. Yeah. And when he does arrive, he's going to get given a fair crack.
Yeah, definitely. He's a blue, isn't he? He's come out a few times and said, like, playing for Everton's a dream. So I'm hoping he gets that dream. Fingers crossed for him. Fingers crossed for you, Henry Onyekuru. You follow your dream. You will get it. Hopefully you play under Marco Silva and you'll oust Theo Walker from the team, and you'll be flying for Everton as soon as possible.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm sure we've got officials watching him and seeing how he plays in different positions, because he is being experimented with a little bit by the Galatasaray manager. Obviously, having played up front at the weekend and being employed in the right wing usually. But he reminds me of Luckman a little bit, because he's quite small in stature. He's only, I think he's like 5'6", 5'7", something like that. And so if you put him in the middle in the Premier League, I'm not sure if he has the physicality for that. So he's more likely to be a winger. But the same with Luckman. I think he played up front for Charlton a few times. But obviously we want to play him as a winger. So I can draw similarities there. They're both obviously pacey players with a bit of skill as well. So I think he's a bit of a similar player, but I can see him playing on the wing. I think he could get into the side at the moment if he were at Everton. I think he'd be pushing Walcott for a starting place, because he's a quality player, but hopefully he will develop out there on loan. I'm not sure like whether he'd be ready. I do think if he performs well on the international stage for Nigeria, then he'll be ready for Everton. He'll come over, but there are quite strict rules. I think it's a bit daft for him. I think they're very tight, the rules at the moment, so hopefully he will be allowed in. But if you're watching, Henry, anyway, shout out to you, because I know he follows us on Instagram, so good old Henry Onyekuru, if you're watching. Good luck to you, mate. Hope you break into the Everton side sometime soon. So yeah, we'll wrap it up there for that segment anyway. Jerry and Max, and it went down pretty well, so we want to give you some more of it. It's called Beers with the Blues. Now we're going to go through each player in the Everton squad, and Paul's going to rate them out of 5 on how much he'd like to go for a beer with them. But how much of a respectable guy they are, what they seem like as a person. Just an entertaining little segment today to top up your international break, because it's very boring, the international break, and this is going to be this is going to entertain you. So make sure you make it last and enjoy it. So let's kick it off anyway. So first, we'll go in a numerical order anyway, from 1 to 43. So it's not every number, don't worry. It's not going to go on for the rest of your life. So we'll keep it as punchy as we can. But yeah, we'll start with Jordan Pickford. How much would you like to go for a pint with Jordan Pickford?
I think I'd love having a drink with Jordan Pickford. I think Pickford's that type of lads where if you're organising like a night out with all your mates, that you definitely want to get him confirmed. Like, is Jordan coming? Is Jordan coming? Oh, if Jordan's not coming, I don't think I'll bother either. I think Jordan'd be great to go out on for a night on the town with. And he's the type of, he seems like the type of fellow where he'd look after you. You know, if things went south, if you got into a bit of trouble, you know Jordan's gonna have your back. He's gonna look after you.
Solid man.
If a bouncer is a bit harsh with you and decides to throw you out, if someone spills a drink on you in the club or just something unsavoury happens, you know Jordan's backing you up. You know Jordan's not gonna just be on the other side of the club chatting to strangers and he's just going to leave you in trouble. And if you'd ever overindulge, I can imagine Pickford's the type of fellow where at the end of the night he'd get you in a taxi, make sure you get home. If you were really, really drunk or being sick, he'd make sure to get you a glass of water or something and just make sure you get home safe and sound. So Jordan Pickford's a lad I'd love to go for a drink with because I think he'd just be top mate, as you said. He'd look after you. He'd be a great person to help you in a spot of bother.
Yeah, a lot of respect for Jordan Pickford. Solid guy, get the rave on, as his boots say, for England. Solid mate, really good fella. So we'll move on to Mason Holgate, number two. What would you give him out of five?
Out of five, I'd give Holgate maybe, I don't know, I don't want to sound harsh, but maybe is one in like something low and five is like great.
Yeah. I thought you were going to give him a one then.
I think I might give him a one.
Really?
I think he's the type of lad where he's a nice lad and you know he's not like trouble or anything. But I imagine if he came on a night out, he'd just maybe be a bit of a bore. I don't know the lad. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but I think when I look at him, I don't see fun time written all over him type thing. I think he'd just be your mate's mate type thing. Do you know what I mean? He's coming along, and you've got no problem with it. But he's not the most excitable character, really.
Yeah.
I don't really think he'd be someone who'd be getting really drunk and cracking loads of jokes and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. I think he'd just be someone who's just there to make the numbers up, mostly.
Yeah, he gets off about 2 o'clock because he's tired.
Gets off because he's tired or he's left his ID at home or something like that. Or when... So let's say, for example, you pull, he's just standing in the corner sulking and he's making it really obvious. He's making it really obvious that you're kind of just leaving him out type thing and it's making you look bad because you look like you're just abandoning your mate. It's not a case of, all right, well, we'll make pull now. I'll go find something else to do. I'll make myself busy so I don't get in the way. I think he just... Do you know what I mean? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Mason's a brilliant lad, but I just think party pooper all over.
Yeah, I hope he's not watching. I hope he's Luca Dean, Henry on your career, if you're watching, don't tell Mason Holgate what we're talking about. I'm flagging him off behind his back. Yeah, that's what we think of Mason Holgate anyway. Number three, Leighton Baines. There we go, on a positive note.
Leighton Baines, Baines is one of those fellas where he wouldn't go for a mad one. It's just a quiet few drinks in a classy place and then home for 11 o'clock, isn't it? For the kids.
Yeah.
He wants to go somewhere really chilled and a nice atmosphere and there's no trouble. I think Baines would be the man to go with. I think Baines would know some really classy places with some great music playing and things like that. But if you want a mad one, if you want to just go out and get absolutely blitzed and get up to all sorts of mischief, I wouldn't ask Baines to come with me. I think Baines has got too much class for that. Baines has passed that now.
Maybe like a Mojo type of guy.
Do you know what I mean? Or the Slug and Lettuce. Do a place where it's not too rowdy, but everyone's having a good time and there's nice tunes on and there's a good atmosphere, but you know, there's no people up dancing, making shows themselves. For Leighton, I think Leighton's a nice kind of, what's the word, a nice cocktail bar type guy.
Yeah.
I'd give him a four. I'd like to go with him in most circumstances, but if he wants to just have a really mad night on the town, I wouldn't insult Leighton enough to ask him because I don't think he'd be up for that.
Yeah, like a pint with your dad, isn't it? I suppose. He's a nice guy. Number four, Michael Keane.
Don't know about Keane. I mean, Keane's a big lad, so again, that's another good reason to invite him along because he'd look after you if things went south and you got into a bit of trouble. Not many people are going to pick fights with Keane, are they? But
Yeah, I think Keane would be that. Would be a number three, like a solid guy. You can have a drink with him. It'd be a good night out, and you'd probably text him the next morning, making sure he got home all right, and he'd text you. Yeah, I'd go for a drink with Keane. I think Keane's someone I'd definitely, if I was, as I said earlier on, if you were inviting a big group of mates out, I think Keane would get on my list.
Yeah, definitely. He'll deal with the bouncers for you if there's any problems with ID or anything. Definitely, a bit of a similar one. Number five, Kurt Zouma.
Depends where you're going, really, to be honest, do you know what I mean? Kurt Zouma, same again, big lad, look after you. I imagine he's a boss dancer as well. So if you want to impress some girls or something like that, don't be next to Zouma because he'll just make an absolute show here because he's that good a dancer. And I can imagine he's got a really nice voice as well, and he'd be great chatting up birds. So Kurt Zouma, I'd go for a drink with him, but I'd make sure you're kind of on the other end of the dance floor type thing. You make sure you're not on his shoulder constantly. Let everyone know that you're with him, but you're not kind of just hanging off him, because if you're just around him constantly, then he's going to take some of the shine off you because he's that great.
Wonderful type of guy. What was that out of five then? Sorry, was it a solid three?
Keane a three. I'd give Zouma a four. I think Zuma's type of guy, if people knew you were with him, they'd be impressed with you.
Nice. Generous. Right, we'll go with number six, Phil Jagielka.
I think Jagielka's the same as Baines, really. I think he's not the type of fella to invite along for a mad one. I think he'd be up for going on a mad one, but I think he'd maybe embarrass you. Do you know what I mean? He's the type of lad where he's... I was best to say this, I'm slagging him off really badly. I think he's the type of fella where he'd annoy a bouncer type things. He's really, really drunk. And he'd kind of... You'd be collateral damage. He'd get you and all your mates thrown out of the club because he's getting a bit too full on the dance floor type thing. So, yeah, he'd be all right. He could come along, but he's got a promise to be on his best behaviour. And if he even wants to do that, because he's of the age now where maybe he's past all that now and he just prefers quiet drinks. But if he was up for going on a night out with me, or I wanted to go on a night out with him, he's got to promise me on his best behaviour, because we know Jags can be a bit quirky.
Yeah, Skip is not reliable on a night out. Reliable on a pitch, but not on a night out.
No in between a dancing. Nothing like that.
Yeah. So what was that out of five for Jags?
I'd give Jags a two. Do you know what I mean? I can imagine he can be a good night out, but it really depends on where you're going.
Yeah, definitely. We'll split it up with a question anyway. Who do you think will be the first to get the pint in for the lads?
First to get the pint in? Probably Pickford. You know, Pickford's just an all-round boss guy, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? Pickford wouldn't be the type of fellow to just get off and leave you with the bill, or wouldn't be the type of lad to just drag it into a club that he knows full well you don't want to go to or nothing like that. And he'd always make sure that you get the drink that you asked for type thing, and no one barges in front of you in the queue. Probably Pickford, but another lad I'll mention as well who I think would make sure that you're not shortchanged and he gets you a drink. I would say probably... What did I say now? It's gone. Sigurdsson, that was it. I think Sigurdsson would get everyone a drink. Sigurdsson's not selfish. I don't think Sigurdsson's the type of fella where he's more interested in him having a good night than he is all his mates. I think it's the opposite. I think Sigurdsson's the type of fellow where he'd be having a good night if he knows you're having a good night.
Yeah.
So I think Sigurdsson would be a nice person to get all the drinks in.
Yeah, he's a top guy, isn't he? Gilfy. We move on to number eight, Andre Gomes.
Oh, Andre Gomes, mate. I think that's 5 out of 5 because if you go out with Andre Gomes, you know you're pulling.
Yeah.
Even if it's just the gorgeous girls, like, less attractive mate, you know you're getting somewhere, because there's no way that fella goes out of town and he doesn't get loads of birds flocking up to him. absolutely none. Do you know what I mean? As long as you're it's the opposite of Zouma, in the sense that if you are with him, you stick with him at all times. You do not ever just leave him on his own to get all the girls for himself. You stick with him and you let everyone know that you're with him, and just good things come if you hang around good people. Zouma would just be amazing to have a drink with, and I can imagine he drinks proper classy drinks as well. He doesn't drink any like really horrible cocktails or nothing like that. I can imagine he has a nice Jack Daniels and Coke, dead elegant, sits in the corner, laughs, and all the bears just flock to him. Andre Gomes, if I could go with a drink with one person, it would be him.
Yeah,
you know that good things are going to happen if you go out on the town with him.
I'd see him getting like, he's the type of guy that would bring like a margarita, like a cocktail, into like the wrap or something. He'd just be in the corner, like, just there doing his own thing. We'll go with number 10, Gylfi Sigurdsson. We mentioned him, but what would you give him out of 5?
Out of 5, I'd give him a 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to go for a drink with him. I can't imagine Gylfi being a party pooper at all.
No, he's a top guy, isn't he? Number 11, Theo Walcott.
Yeah, I think Theo wouldn't be bad. I think Theo's similar to maybe, what was I going to say earlier on? I think he'd be similar to Baines in the sense where he likes the odd night out as much as anyone. I don't imagine he's like a hermit who just is a shut-in and he's boring. I can imagine he's quite a laugh. He's got a nice upbeat personality. And if you want to just have a nice night out with the lads, Theo gets an invitation because, as I said, I can imagine he's the type of fella where he makes the atmosphere good and he doesn't really just get off and leave you and make you pay for your own drinks. So, yeah, it's the same as the likes of Keane and Zuma and Baines, where he gets on my list. He can definitely come along.
Yeah.
So I give him a 4. Yeah. 4. Nice, funny lad, bright and good-hearted.
That's good. Yeah, I appreciate that. My mate, number 12, Luca Dean.
Luca Dean, I think he's sort of on the same lines as Gomez, where he's really nice looking and you just know he's going to turn heads. So if you're with him, you're going to get his leftovers. Do you know what I mean? But you know what I mean? So yeah, Luca Dean's a really handsome chap. I'd let Luca Dean come. And I imagine Luca Dean's the type of fellow where he'd get drunk, but he'd get drunk on the quiet. Do you know what I mean? He wouldn't make a show of himself and nothing. He'd just be sipping his drinks, knocking them back. He was saying, "You're all right, mate. You're all right. You don't seem like you're having a good time." And he'd go, no, I'm absolutely fine. I'm absolutely fine. But I'm just getting the buzz going." So I'd give Dean a 4, like 4.5 maybe.
Oh, nice.
I think the only fella to give an absolute certain 5 to so far is Gomez, but Dean's not far behind him.
Yeah. Let's see if anyone gets 5s. In the next few, still got quite a few to come. Here's a potential 5. Number 13, Yerry Mina.
Oh, Yerry Mina. Yeah. It's same. If you want to just go to a club and have a proper mad dance, do you know what I mean? And just have a really memorable night out where you just laugh and you remember it all the time, thinking, "Oh, do you remember the time we went out with Yerry?" Do you know what I mean? Yerry's a really, really upbeat chap, isn't he? I'd love to go for a dance with Yerry. I mean, what was I going to say about Yerry? Again, I can imagine him having lots of like mad drinks. I think he'd be mad on the shots.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think he'd be the type of fella where he's trying to push pour shots down your neck. You're getting shots constantly. You go, Yerry, I'm all right. I've just had one. I'll have one in a few minutes. No, you've got to keep having them. Keep having them. Type thing. So yeah. I can imagine Yerry being there. He'd be an absolute laugh, but you've just got to make sure that he doesn't make it overdo it.
He'd be the one in Savard, the tequila bar, going there, giving a 20 quid and going, 20 shots, please, for the loss.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Do you know when the waitress go around, like the big, like, sheet, what are they called? The big metal things carrying all the shots
trays.
On them. The trays, that's yeah. It. They go around, he'd just pie all of them, go, "We'll have all of them, put it down, we'll have all of them." And he'd insist that the girl who's selling them have a few as well.
Yeah. So what are we giving him out of 5, sorry?
I'd give him a 4.5 as well.
4.5, solid. 14, Cheng Tosun.
Cheng Tosun, yeah, I'd give Cenk a 4. I think Cenk, again, sounds a bit boring, but I think he's the same as Walcott and the same as Keane, where he can definitely come because he'll make the atmosphere good. He's not going to cause any trouble, I don't think. And he's always got a big smile on his face. And I imagine he's a fun drunk type thing, do you know what I mean? So, yeah, Cenk can definitely come. And the thing about Cenk is, I think Cenk would probably know. I mean, I don't want to sound offensive when I say this, but I think Cenk would, hopefully, if he's got some relatives in the city centre somewhere, he'd make sure that you get a really nice kebab at the end of the day.
Yeah, definitely. He's a classy fella. I remember saw him in Gino's, the restaurant. Did you know Gino's, the Campos restaurant on Dale Street? I was sat in there.
Yeah.
He came in and I was like, "God, I've got to go up to him there." So I was on my way to the toilet. I was like, "God, I'll go up to Cheng Tosun there." He was sat on his own as well. I think he was waiting for someone. So he was on the other side. I was outside. He was sat inside. I went up to the door, glass door. And it had a clear sign and it saying pull, and I pushed the pull though, and I was just making an idiot of myself, and I was making eye contact with him as well. We were looking at each other, and I was yanking this door trying to get it open, and after that, yeah, just went and I flopped it and I walked away. I didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
To him. And he was gone.
He looks like he knows where all the best stuff is, you know, like the hidden treasures, like, "Oh, this bar that's around here that no one ever goes to, it's great in here," or, "Oh, this place down here gives you extra portions, let's go in here," or, "I know this bouncer, he'll get us in." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He looks like he'd be good for that type of thing, but he knows all the little secrets to make sure United's that little bit better.
Yeah, definitely. Respect to Cheng Tosun. Number 16, James McCarthy.
Again, I think McCarvey's type of fellow with his idea of a night out going the bingo. You know what I mean? Personally, I mean, he's one of them. He's if he came along, I wouldn't kick off. It's like, yeah, he can come if he wants, but I don't really see any. Who knows what he's like when he's drunk? Maybe he's just miserable. Maybe he's not. I'd give McCarthy a one.
A one
personally. That's my opinion. People know that I'm not McCarthy's biggest fan, so I'm just being an arsehole, really. I'm going to go on.
Fair enough. Being... Number 17, Idrissa Gueye.
Idrissa Gueye. I think he'd be like a mini Mina. Do you know what I mean? He'd be great. He's on the dance floor. He's great having a dance. He'd buy a lot, but he'd get all the drinks in for everybody. He'd be insistent that no one welch out. Like, no, if we're all having shots, you've got to have one as well, type of thing. I think he's... What was I going to say? I'd give him a 4 out of 10. And you know his type of fact, he'd wear something mad on the night out. He'd wear white jeans or something like that. Do you know what I mean? White jeans and a white top. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it'd be worth having there just for that alone, because you just think, what is he going to turn up with in tonight?
He seems like a cool guy. Like, you wouldn't see him in like the cringy places like the Raz or Popwell. You'd see him in like classier places. I can see him going to like Albert Dock. Like, you wouldn't see him in Concert Square. Like, that type of guy. He's well dressed. But number 18, Morgan Schneiderlin.
Morgan Schneiderlin's, I think he probably falls into the same category. I think he'd go to the classy places as well, and he'd turn a lot of heads. He's going to get a lot of people wanting to hang around with him. The thing about Schneiderlin is, though, the Schneiderlin, trying to work out what type of beer do you think Schneiderlin drinks? Do you think he drinks like proper rich French wine, or do you think he just loves his hard stuff and just gets all the spirits in?
Definitely a wine guy. I can see him being a wine guy, to be honest.
See him being a wine guy, yeah, and he's not going to get his wines in a nightclub, is he? So.
No.
You don't really know. Yeah, Schneiderlin's a weird one. I think he could be either or. You know, I'll give Schneiderlin a 3. I'll go right down the middle, because I wouldn't be shocked if Schneiderlin was a great night out, or whether he was just a really classy guy who doesn't really indulge in that type of thing. His idea of a night out isn't going into a club and getting blitzed off your face. His idea is just going to a nice place with like someone playing the piano in a corner. You know what I mean?
I think it'd just be worth having him there just for the song, so you could sing Morgan Schneiderlin when the song comes on. So, that'd be my reason for having him there anyway. But here's an interesting one. Umar Nias, number 19.
Umar Nias. I can imagine Nias is the fella who wants to go to like all the really, really weird places. Do you know what I mean? I wants to put all the really weird music on. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not... He's like that quirky mate you've got. He's a laugh, and he can come if he wants to. But you just know he's going to do something stupid at some point in the night. He's going to spill a drink on himself, or he's going to interrupt you when you're chatting someone up at the worst possible time, or he's going to get on the jukebox and he's going to put some really obscure, stupid song on that everyone just turns around and goes, oh, who put this on? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, again, Umar's one of them. He can come, but he's got to promise to tone it down and keep his behaviour sensible.
Yeah, you can tell. You can't give him too many drinks. You've got to be careful with him. You've got to watch him. Otherwise, he's getting an early taxi. He's one of them.
Yeah,
you could go either way. Number 20, Bernard.
Bernard? I think Bernard's more just like a pub type guy, do you know what I mean? He's not going to go to town for a mad one. He's just going to find a little old man's pub where he's the youngest person in there by about 30 years, and he's just going to sit there and maybe read the newspaper and do a crossword type thing. So that's what you're into, fair enough. If you want to just have a quiet night somewhere, get a few pints down you, just have a nice think to yourself and let all your troubles kind of go away for a few hours, I think you'd be all right to go out with. So yeah, I think Bernard, I'd go for a drink with Bernard, but if I'm going for a mad night out, I wouldn't ring him up. So yeah. I'd give him a 3.
3, solid. Number 22, Martin Stecklenburg.
Martin Stecklenburg, I can imagine, is the fella you ring when you want to lift home. Do you know what I mean? He wouldn't come with you, he wouldn't get invited, but if you're just on the pavement, like passed out somewhere, and you just can't get a taxi, and the trains have all finished, and you're just stuck thinking, oh, how are we going to get home? Call Martin. Martin will come get us. Martin might be one of those fellas where he gives you like a disapproving look, some of that, and he goes, oh, what he is like. But you know Martin would leave you in trouble. Martin would come pick you up at the end of the night. So, yeah, Martin, if Martin wants to come, he can come. But I can imagine he's the type of fella where you ring at the end of the night because you've got yourself in trouble and you need Martin to clean it up for you and get you in bed.
Yeah, Martin's 1 a.m.
Designated driver.
Anything before 1 a.m. he'll be up watching nature documentaries, and then after that, you might be able to wake him up and get a lucky lift. Good old Stecklenburg. What would you give him out of 5 then?
Yeah, I'll just go on the mail and give him a 3. I don't really want to slag him off, but type thing. I'll give him a 3.
Respectable guy. Seamus Coleman.
Coleman falls into the same thing as Pickford for me. He's that ever reliable mate who, if you're organising a night out, you've got to make sure he's coming, type thing.
Yeah.
If he doesn't want to come, you've got to try your hardest to convince him to change his mind and come, because if he's going to be there, you know the vibe's going to be good. You know he's never going to let you down. He's always going to make sure that things stay under control. And the thing about Coleman is, I can imagine he's just a brilliant wingman type thing. Do you know if you go, like, Seamus, I'm going to go chat up that bear over there. I really fancy him. I don't know what to say. He's the type of fellow where he'd kind of give you the kick up the arse. No, go on, believe in yourself, lad. Go do it. Go on, lad. Go on. Do you know what I mean? He's the type of fella, if you want, need a bit of, just a bit of Dutch courage, Seamus is the fella to give you the pep talk to get convinced to do it. So yeah, I definitely have Seamus there. I'll give Seamus a 4.5.
4.5. Perfect wingman. 26, Tom Davis.
He can come. He's just about old enough. But he's got it. Again, we're not going to all the places he wants to go to. Do you know what I mean? I can imagine he wants to go to, like, Pot World and things like that. Do you know what I mean? Maybe if the mood takes us, we can go. But he's one of them. He's got to just accept. If he wants to come, he's got to go wherever. He's got to accept what other people want to do. Do you know what I mean? I'd give him a 3. Do you know what I mean? As long as he's like Niasse. As long as he promises to behave himself and he's not being stupid and he's not getting himself thrown out of clubs and he's not getting an early taxi home, then I think Tom can be all right. Do you know what I mean? I can imagine Tom's a laugh. He's got to promise to keep himself on his best behaviour, and he's got to make sure that he's not annoying everybody by constantly asking to go to the kiddiest bars.
He's my age, Tom Davis. He's in my year at school. Yeah, he went to school near us as well.
I don't say that, say, like, he's a kid. I can just imagine he's very, very childlike in his personality, innocent. Do you know what I mean? Imagine, like, he's the type of fella the bouncers just kind of try and bully because they can. You're not coming in here, lad. Do you know what I mean? I don't like what shoes you've got on. And they know he's not the type of fella to cause any trouble. He's not going to argue back with them.
Yeah.
Type thing. So, Davis can come, but if he starts misbehaving, then he's getting legged. He's getting sent home, clearly.
I think he's a Bolted Triangle type of guy. He's not going anywhere near Conza Square. He's quite indie and alternative, isn't he? He's going the Bolted Triangle.
Yeah.
But, that's what we think of Tom Davis anyway. Number 28, we'll go with Kieran Dowell.
Kieran Dowell, I don't know, Kieran Dowell. I mean, I could be completely wrong when I'm judging these people, but he just reminds me a lot of Holgate, where I think, if we're in a night out, I don't think he'd really seem like he's enjoying himself. I think he's a guy who just prefers to do his own thing. Yeah. I don't really think partying would be his type of scene. So if he went for a drink, I can imagine he's the type of fella who he'd only drink if he was out, like, having, like, a meal with his family. I think, like, something private and intimate. If he just want to go and get really, really drunk somewhere and have a mad one, I don't really think that'd be Dal's type of thing. I think Dal would just, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I'd give Dal a 2. Dal's not really, I don't really think Dal's the type of person where if you get Dal there, Dal's going to be really, really getting into it and making the vibe good.
Yeah, he's from Ormskirk, isn't he? So he probably, he doesn't really know what a night out's like unless he's here. Unless he's at Liverpool. But we'll go with 29, Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin, same as players like Walcott and Keane. He seems like he's got a nice personality. He'd be a laugh. Do you know what I mean? He's another big lad, isn't he? I don't really think anyone would be in the mood for messing with him. So I'll give Calvert-Lewin a 3.
Yeah.
3.5. He's a good laugh. He's a good, honest lad. You're not going to get anything over the top from him. He's not going to cause any trouble. He's not going to do anything mad in a bad way. So, yeah, I'd go for a drink with Calvert-Lewin.
Go on. I'll throw another question in to split it up anyway. Who do you think's the most likely to miss his round and not pay?
Oh, miss his round and not pay, as in be a stinge.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think now. Do you know who I think it might be? And I don't mean this to slag him off. I mean, this is just something he'd do because he's a bit mischievous. Probably Jagielka.
Really, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Jagielka could be the fella. Jags, it's your round. Oh, yeah, I'll get it in the minute. And then he'd hope you're forgetting. And then someone gets him around and says, and he gets a drink. And he goes, and he'd say, oh, no, it was my round. I'll get you one next time. And then he just doesn't. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, he's not soft, you know what I mean? He's not going to go to the bar until he's absolutely forced to go to the bar.
Yeah.
He's more than happy to let other people pay his drinks for him whilst he's trying to have a good time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't mean that in a really horrible way. I think Jagielka Elka's just... I think he's just very, very clever in that sense, Jagielka Elka.
Yeah. It's a bit of, give him a compliment in a way. He's clever. There we go. He knows what he's doing. Cunning. Number 30, Richarlison.
Richarlison, I think he's the type of fella you think he'd be a stiff, but once he gets a few drinks in him, he loosens up a bit and he does some sort of mad dancing. Yeah, he's the type of lad where he comes along and you think, oh, that lad looks like he doesn't even want to be here. What's up with him? Type of thing. And then once he gets a few drinks in, he's just an absolute party animal. And he just completely lets loose and shows everyone his real side. You think, oh, God, what a laugh he is. I've got to get his number. I've got to stay mate with him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll invite him next time, yeah. So... get Richie out. Do you know what I mean? Get Richie. Richie was a proper laugh last time. So, yeah, I'll give Richarlison a 4. I think Richarlison would take him a while to warm up, but once he's warmed up, he'll be one of the ones that you'd have most of a laugh with.
Yeah, get the pigeon dance going. Definitely. Yeah. That'd be a laugh on a night out. 31, Adamola Luckman.
Again, I think Luckman doesn't really... I don't think Luckman'd be into having a night out. I think he just wants a glass of milk and go to bed, doesn't he? I think... He moved up here from London, didn't he? And the rumour was that he was homesick and Liverpool wasn't really to his liking. So yeah. Maybe he sampled the nightlife and found it wasn't for him. I don't know, I'm only guessing. But Luckman, I'd give Luckman a 1.
What?
1. Yeah, I would give anyone a 0. 0 is just a sense of, oh, I absolutely would never go for a drink with you. I think it's an absolute no way. I wouldn't give that to any of them. I think it's a 1. I just think if you want to go for a drink, we can go for one. But I don't imagine I don't think you're going to enjoy yourself, and I don't think I'm going to enjoy myself. So, I'd give Luckman a one.
Oh harsh. That's interesting. He's definitely not a. He's not going to be jumping around, is he? He's a.
No.
He's a chill guy. Last couple now. Number 3, Virginia. However you pronounce his first name, Virginia.
You know what? I'll have to pass on that one because I just don't know enough about him. I couldn't even. Tell you what he looks like, genuinely. Really? I think he's got dark hair. That's all I can tell you. I've never, like, really... I've not seen a squad photo type thing. I mean, I can imagine if my life depended on it, I could describe to you what he looks like. I know he's quite tall, isn't he? But if I was, like, in a lift with him or walked past him in the street, I don't think I'd know who he is. if he's, like, stupidly tall, like, 6'7", then, yeah, I think it would dawn on me, but... Do you know what I mean? It's just he's not someone who really jumps out in my brain, and I have a strong feeling for one way or the other. I've not seen him play yet, type of thing.
He played in the second half. Anyway, he came on for Stekelenburg, and he's not that tall, to be honest. I'd say he's like thick for height, if that. Like, but he's still young, obviously. But yeah, he's not massive. But maybe 6'2", if something like that. But he's not massive. But he looked like he had a proper go anyway. He was enthusiastic, so I'll give him that.
I was just going to say that shows I don't have any clue who he is. I don't have any clue about him. I know much about him. I thought obviously that I'd read somewhere that he's quite tall and he's like of like a Joel type build, but obviously if he's not, he's not type thing. So I wouldn't recognise him if I saw him.
Maybe I was sitting like dead far back. I don't know. Maybe I was up in the gods in the main stand. I'll have to have a look at his height anyway. Google Jaya Virginia height. I think he's quite tall. 6'4". There we go. Yeah, he's quite tall. He's not small anyway. He's a decent size. Maybe I was just sitting dead far back. I was a restrictive view in the main stand anyway, with all the pillars in the way. Last one we'll go with Benny Beningame.
Benny Beningame? I think he'd be a mini gay. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He wears some really loud clothes. He goes to some really classy places. And I can imagine he likes his really sort of out there type music type thing. Do you know what I mean? He'd like his R&B, he'd like his chart music, things like that. So yeah, Beningame's someone I go for a drink with. I'd give him a 3.5 because I can imagine what he turns up in and the type of tunes he wants to put on. I think that would just make it worth it.
Yeah, solid 3.5. Before we finish off anyway, who's going to get the most drunk and you're going to have to put in a taxi?
It's a toss-up between Niasse and Davis, probably. You know what I mean? Maybe Niasse, because I think Davis, as you said, he likes his indie stuff, doesn't he? I think Davis wouldn't go to the club, wouldn't go to the type of places where he's going to get himself in trouble, do you know what I mean? I think maybe he likes
he kind of, I'm trying to think how best to word this. I thought I was going to say it then and it's gone. I can imagine the assay is just a fellow who got wild.
Yeah.
Type thing. If Davis got drunk, it would just be kind of because he's been led astray.
Yeah.
Type thing, and he's kind of he's lost count how many drinks he's had. I think the assay would just go out with the intention of getting absolutely blitzed and causing havoc and things like that. And you just think, oh God, what did we invite him for? We knew he promised he wasn't going to do that, and he's done it anyway. So yeah, I'd probably lean towards the assay. Yeah, the assay would get absolutely blitzed, and you'd have to put him in a taxi, and he'd be sick all over himself, and the bouncers are saying, you've got to get your mate under control or you're just all getting out, that type of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, probably need to say.
There we go. That was a dead interesting segment anyway. And that wraps up the show for us for this week. So thanks a lot for joining us, Paul. And you give us a follow on social media as well. Our Twitter handles are below our pictures. If you're on the podcast, thanks a lot for listening. We'll wrap it up there for you. Make sure you tune in next time on the Toffee Blues, and if you're watching the videos, make sure you like, comment and subscribe to the videos. We've been the Toffee Blues. Make sure you tune in next time. Thanks for watching.
Cheers.
I'm not an immigrant.